From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Several influential African-American pastors recently sent a letter to President Bush, critical of his unwillingness to double U.S. aid to Africa. Among them is Bishop T.D. Jakes, CEO and senior pastor to the 30,000 members of the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas. Bishop Jakes downplayed what many characterized as a critical tone to the letter. Instead, he emphasized it was meant to encourage the president's efforts on the continent.
I think it was very, very important on the heels of Prime Minister Blair's recent visit to President Bush to reinforce the fact that there are Americans who are extremely supportive of increasing American aid to Africa. If we had not written him, he might not have been aware of our extreme commitment to that area. There are many African-American pastors who have invested our resources and time and effort into trying to relieve some of the suffering and plight that continues to exist in the pandemic spread of AIDS in Africa, as well as our ministry has taken on the responsibility of digging wells to provide water for the indigenous people there. So we have a great deal of interest in the well-being of Africa.
I'm curious about your thought of the African-American role in the plight of Africa. Quite frankly, there are many who are disappointed that more African-Americans have not taken heed and moved their voice as one to suggest that there is much more that needs to be done in many countries on that continent.
Well, I think that the African-American community is in many ways mobilizing its voice, and I think that the letter is indicative of the resurgence of attention to the well-being of Africa. But, Ed, I think we'll miss a great point here if we reduce it totally down to Africa being the motherland for African-Americans. I think in reality China has expressed extreme interest and focus on Africa. Many Muslim nations are looking at Africa, and it's important for all Americans to pay attention to third world countries and who influences their well-being for the betterment of our children and for the safety of our nation.
There is a sense from those who are in the know and understand it that that continent really has for so long been a sleeping giant, and all of the hope of what could be for nations there should be realized. How much do you believe that there has to be this movement from the West in particular, led by the United States?
Well, as we continue to become more involved and more cognizant of the many, many challenges that exist where poverty escalates and we insulate ourselves from those challenges, we find that those are seething beds for terrorism. We must respond to those issues. And to his credit, President Bush has done quite a bit in that regard beyond what America traditionally has done, 3 times more aid to Africa than any of his predecessors. And we deeply appreciate that. And I think it's important and to note the fact that Bush last week did agree with Blair and other leaders of industrialized nations to cancel the debt owed by some of the world's poorest nations as African Americans. We deeply applaud that. And so our reaching out to the government was to say, first of all, we applaud what you've already done, and let's explore ways we can do more. And secondly, not only to say that the government needs to do more, but private sector needs to be more responsible in child labor and how we handle things, as well as the faith-based community. We want to be a conduit of bringing communication to say we are interested, we're concerned, and we're available to help.
Bishop, before we go on to some of the other projects that you've been dealing with, I want to ask you one more question about this. And there is some concern in some corners of the African-American community that many of the ministers that we're seeing dealing with the president are those that the president has a, quote, cordial relationship with. And there is question as to whether or not these ministers have been co-opted and whether or not this president used them, frankly, for the, quote, black vote. What do you say to critics who suggest that?
You know, I really don't think that that is the case. I've heard those allegations many times. I think it is incumbent upon all Americans, once a person is elected into office, to find ways that we can work with them and to accomplish the well-being of this country. I think the allegation implies that through the faith-based initiative that black pastors are coming on board for some ulterior motive is really lodged in the mouth of people who don't understand that whoever is in the White House is making decisions that affect our children, and it's very important that we have access to communicate and at times criticize and more often collaborate for the well-being of our nation, and that will continue to exist whether there's a Democrat or Republican or anybody in the White House. And it's a biblical principle that we are to work with those that are placed in leadership, and we're just acting that out.
I want to move on to some of the projects that you're working with and like to ask you about the MegaFest, which you're involved with. Give us a thumbnail sketch of what that is and why you have decided to participate.
You know, MegaFest is something that we've founded for years. We've been doing the Woman Hour Loose Conference, which is an empowerment, a religious faith-based empowerment summit for women, encouraging them and uplifting them. We've done Manpower, which is very similar in many ways to Promise Keepers. We decided to bring them together because we are really declaring war on the decadence that exists in the family, to heal the breach that exists in our marital relationships, and to explore ways that we can more effectively parent children. So we've got a youth component to it. Young people are coming from everywhere. We have entertainment. We have special activities and events. And it's a very unique festival. It goes on in Atlanta August 3rd through the 6th, and we're excited to be able to be back in Atlanta again for the MegaFest event.
When you are up on that stage in a stadium filled with people, and you are delivering the message, the word of God, through you, I'm curious what you feel at that very moment.
You know, there's a tremendous responsibility when you do that, to encourage, to uplift, to in many ways redefine in the minds of hearers who have preconceived ideas about faith or about events or about anything, ways that they can better access God and faith in a personal and meaningful way, to translate religion from its broad implications down to a personal experience is my objective. And to that end, when I'm in the pulpit, I discard any other agenda politically or any other way and focus primarily on just trying to encourage people to live the best lives that they can.
Let me ask you before we let you go about some of the other upcoming projects that we can look forward to, because you, perhaps more than any other of late, have really changed the face of ministry, particularly when talking about reaching out to those who heretofore had not seen the church present day as an outlet, had not connected with it. So I'm curious what we can look forward to.
Well, you know, first of all, Ed, my philosophy is one that religion should not be sequestered and held in a vacuum where people of faith are some special interest group that's quarantined as if that is all they are as people of faith. And so I think that the pulpit is not the only place that we can speak. We can speak through cinema. We can speak through the internet. And so we've been able to do that, to go beyond the confines of the church walls. And I will continue to do that. As a philanthropist, I'm going to continue to dig wells in Africa. I get so much personal fulfillment to see people that happy about something as common as water. You know, even our homeless people in America have access to clean water. Recently, I was in Kenya and just shocked at how people were just so happy that singing songs about wells being dug. And we're going back to Kenya in October. We're going to do a benefit in Kenya, and we're going to continue to dig wells until every human being can get a clean drink of water.
Well, Bishop T.D. Jakes, pastor, entrepreneur, trailblazer, it is always good to hear from you, and we look forward to whatever you involve yourself with, and we know it will only move to make things better for all. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ed.